Good morning and welcome to Grendene S.A. conference call to release and analyze the earnings of the fourth quarter 2018. We would like to inform you that this conference call will be held in Portuguese with simultaneous translation into English. Right now, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please reach the operator by pressing star zero. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded and will be made available on the website http://ri.grendene.com.br. Here with us are Grendene's main executive officers that will also be available to answer your questions. Rudimar Dall'Onder, CEO, Gelson Luiz Rossilora, VP, and Francisco Schmidt, Financial and IR Officer, as well as the company's main officers and managers. We would like to inform you that the press release of the 4Q18 is available on the company's website, ri.grendene.com.br, in both Portuguese and English. Before moving on, we would like to let you know that any statements made during this conference call relative to the company's outlook, operating estimates, and financial estimates of company's businesses are based on expectations of the company management with regard to the future of the company. Forward-looking statements highly depend on market conditions of the country's general economic performance, of the industry, and of international markets. Now we are going to turn the call to Mr. Schmidt, CFO and IR officer of the company. Please, Mr. Schmidt, you may go on. Good morning, everyone, and thanks again to attend once again a conference call of Grendene to release, to come and to make our comments on the results that were released yesterday. We would like to remind you that, as usual, yesterday we uploaded a file with a summary of our releases that will make it easier for you to follow on this conference call and understand the press release and the reports that were disclosed yesterday. I'm going to be very brief in my comments. I do not intend to repeat all the numbers that were released, but I'm going to highlight whatever we believe is most important for you to understand our results and basically future outlooks. Before we talk about results per se, we would like to highlight the payout of dividends. Well, in addition to we have already paid out in terms of dividends in advance on a quarterly base according to our dividend policy. And as per this very policy, the balance of the dividends was decided for the year of 2018 to be paid out in the amount of 143.4 million ad referendum be approved together with approval of accounts by the general shareholders meeting. When that 130 million is going to be in the form of interest on equity and 13.4 million as supplementary dividends. Altogether, 315 million, including what was advanced before. And those that are going to receive interest on equity and supplementary dividends are those holders of common shares of Grendene that were enrolled with the company as up to the date of the 23rd of April 19. That's the cutoff date, B3. And ex-dividend as of the 24th of April 2019 to be paid as of May 8th, 2019. Well, with regard to performance now, let's make some comments. Well, as it was mentioned before, Grindin's net income in 2018 was 586 million reals, which accounts for a return on equity, always calculated against the return on equity in the beginning of the year, of 19%, of which the company proposed for the payout of dividends and interest on equity the total amount of 315 million. And the remainder amount is going to be reinvested in the company. And what we saw in the fourth quarter of 18 is that this recovery of demand in the domestic market is still far from what we had expected. Still, we increased the volume of shoes in the domestic market by 6.5% in the period. Also, there were difficulties in the external market, and we have been talking about that. They are still ongoing, and we did have a drop of 12%, which accounts for 2 million shoes in the last quarter compared to the same period last year. Well, these difficulties include several barriers with regard to import. Countries that are going through economic retraction. So all our drop of exports in the year basically took place in Latin America. And again, for the reasons that I explained. And the way we see it, we gained market share in a market that shrank once again. And I'm talking about both external exports and the domestic market. The domestic market, according to the numbers we have till today, we estimate that consumption in Brazil has dropped by 1.5 to 2%, and we grew up, and Brazilian exports dropped by almost 10%, again, more than the drop that Grindini had. In this scenario, we operated along the year of 2018 quite well. And if you think of it, we started the period of crisis in 2013. So our industrial capacity is working below what would be necessary to absorb, without losing margins, increases in costs and uncertainties in demands that we are facing. As a reminder, our production of capacity is 200 million pair of shoes a year. And in the year that closed, we produced 173 million. So we have reasonable idle capacity, which makes costs and margins to be pressured. Again, it's important to say that a recovering the volumes, as expected this year, should have a positive impact on margins. In recent years of deep crisis, drop of consumption of shoes in the country, we were able to keep a very high level of margins, and we made our operation a lot more efficient. We were able to reinforce our brands and keep solid relationship with both retail and end consumers. Our brands have been stood out in the market in all segments that we operate. We can highlight the growth of the importance of Melissa in our results. To illustrate these actions, we would like to let you know that in the building of brands, our Club Melissa project continues to move on, ignoring crisis and reaching 311 Melissa clubs in the end of 2018, out of which 16 are in this new format that we call the Mini Melissa Club for the children audience that we have. With that, our network has 48 new stores along the year with growth of 18% in our area of sales. Based on financial results, we had a drop of 80 million reals. And that basically was responsible for the whole drop we had in net income. Of course, we had some items that went up, others down. But if we were to consider one line, the drop of our financial results is almost equiparable to the drop in our net income. and the expected drop of interest rates. However, the drop of demand in the industry, the increase of costs that we had, especially as of May until September, and the strike that we had for the truck drivers were not expected. In the year, Grendene COGS grew by 6.6% compared to the previous year. And net revenues, despite the positive exchange rate impact, grew just 3.6%. That reflects an increase in the cost of inputs such as PVC, resin, plasticizers, paints, packages, and freight costs. Some of these costs, particularly resins, in the beginning of last year, it started to go down in terms of prices, which should have a positive impact on results in the first half of 2019. What we expect for 2019 is an increase of consumption in Brazil, which we did not have in 2018, which was very frustrating in terms of expectations. Even when we consider the fourth quarter in the beginning of this year, recovery is still very low. We still have high hopes for improvements, but we do not have concrete facts to confirm that this is going to happen in 2019. In the shoe industry, still, we consider the possibility of growth in the sale of shoes by 3 to 5%, the same number that we had expected for last year, and that did not come true. So we have a new administration, a new year starting, so we expect that finally demand is going to pick up in Brazil, in all industries, and of course in the shoe industry as well. It's clear that for this to happen, we need employment rates to go down, income to go up, and that will certainly affect consumption and consequently the shoe industry. We continue to believe for those reasons that in the coming years, as the economic situation improves in the country, we are going to perhaps go back to the 210 shoes that were sold a year between 2013 and 2018. At least this is going to be a gradual pickup. It's not going to happen in a single year. Whatever the market situation, however, we are going to pursue the best results possible, increasing our margins, seeking productivity, which is what we have been doing in a period in which consumption has been repeatedly going down. In 2008, I would like to tell you that the company gave a market guidance that closed now in the year of 2018. Of course, lots happened in this period that was not expected, things that were good, others that were not. And we saw a long time releasing our results vis-a-vis this guidance that was provided by the company. The reason for us to give a 10-year guidance to the market is that at the time, the company had gone public just 3-4 years ago. So it would be difficult for investors and for the market as a whole to assess how the company should evolve in different market situations, how the company would behave, and what kind of results it would deliver. And also, the industry was not really followed much by the company. There was just one other public traded company in the industry, and so we decided to provide this guidance to the market. And we kept it regardless of all crises and surprises we have had along the way. The conclusion that we come to after this period is ended is that this is not something that really adds value to the company. The company is now been listed for almost 14 years. And along with the market, the company enhanced the way it settles its accounts and releases its earnings. We have been trying to release our earnings with the most detail so that everyone can understand our numbers quite well. And we believe it's no longer necessary for the company to make estimates for the future, or at least for such long future. We're going to continue to talk about the way we see the market, our outlook for the market, but without referring to numbers, be them EBIT, revenues, or income for the years to come. Well, these were the comments that I would like to make. And now I think that we have enough time for whatever questions you believe are relevant, or if you need further clarification on our earnings. So I thank you very much, and now we are going to go to the Q&A. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your question, please press pound. I'm sorry, please press star 2. Please do not use the phone off the hook your phone on the hook to ask your questions. Please wait while we connect to collect the questions. Our first question comes from Rafael Casas. Good morning, everyone. Well, congratulations on your positive results. I have one question with regard to the results of your financial investments. The cash effect produced in this year was 3.5 billion in your cash flow statement. And last year, in the beginning of last year, when you had the line of financial investments, you had 1.2 billion, and I think there is a mismatch. I think this mismatch is well above 100% now. Could you talk a bit about this mismatch and why it occurs? I'm sorry, could you repeat your question, because it's not really clear what mismatch you're talking about. Okay, the cash effect, when you have the statements on your cash flow, you have a line on expenses with financial investments, and it is in the magnitude of 3.5 billion. And I'm sorry. What is 3.5 billion that you're saying? You have redemptions of financial investments. Okay. You're talking about redemptions. Okay. Well, the thing is, the company has cash in the amount of 2 billion, okay? And obviously, these investments mature. Bonds mature along the year. So as bonds mature, they are redeemed and reinvested. So what you have in the cash flow is that you have part of it, which is redemption, and then reinvestments. And obviously, what is invested comes from the cash that the company is generated, plus bonds that have matured and it's not using. If the company is not using these bonds that are to mature, if it's going to use less than what was redeemed, anyway, the company has been generating cash And therefore, you have these movements of redemption and reinvestment. And that's why you have this amount on this line. Okay, I got it. Thank you very much. It's just that the redemption of investments was more than 100% of the amount that was stated in the adjusted line. And then I wanted to understand why of the mismatch, but I understand you're talking about yields that you had from bonds expired. Not so long ago, all the financial investments of the companies were shown as cash and cash equivalents. Because of the adoption of IFRS in 2017, we had a discussion with our auditors and advisors, and the understanding of the norm was that this cash that the company is carrying on and that is not expected to be used in the short term should be withdrawn from cash and cash equivalents and started to be reported some part in long term. And then we had to follow all the rules of how to classify. So you assess the bonds that you want to carry until maturity and the ones that you're going to mark to market. In our case, our investments are all in fixed income. A good part of them attached to Selic, so it's not the case of being marked to market. We have financial investments that are interest plus inflation, be it IPCA or IPCM. These could be marked to market when it is available for sale. But as the company investments are carried until maturity, you have an important cash generation. So you have this movement of redemption and investment of these financial resources. And that will depend on the order of maturity of these bonds. You see, as the company is always investing, every week we have the maturity of bonds that were invested 3-4 years ago, and therefore they are reinvested as they generate new cash. And that aligns to the company's very cash generation. So at a certain point in time, you have the payout of dividends where you have lots of cash to be paid. So in this case, you have more cash in, cash coming out than going in. Then you have to redeem some investments. Other times, you're going to invest more than you redeem. The balance of all this is that our cash has been increasing by 200, 300 million a year. We pay out 300 some million dividends a year. And last year, just to give you an example, the generation of cash / operating activity was 483 million BRL. And there is an explanation in our press release when I talk specifically about cash generation, that talks about the allocation of cash, some of it for investment, some of it for the payout of dividends, so you know where the amounts were allocated. And this is very detailed in our press release under cash generation. Okay, I understood it thoroughly. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Wagner Salazari from Quantita. Good morning, Schmidt and everyone. I would like to have some color on the update of the PIS-COFINS process, the ICMS that is being judged by the Supreme Court, and if you know if we are going to have any definition and when for the company. Well, there are two front lines to be analyzed here. One is the status of this process in the Supreme Court. The legal issue here is a bit complex. You know, the Supreme Court did make a decision in favor of the companies, and the decision has not been published yet. When it is to be published, it's going to be binding to all levels of the judicial system. That is, it is applicable to all companies. So the Supreme Court already gave its final decision. The IRS appealed, and the appeals have not been judged yet. And the appeals, I know, they are not in the level of judgment of merit any longer. But basically, the application of the sentence and the technicalities of it. But anyway, after the Supreme Court decides on the appeals, then we are going to have the posting of the decision, and then it is going to be binding to all the companies. But remember that some companies, and you probably saw it in the press, already won the causes individually because they entered individual lawsuits. But again, this is not binding because that's exclusive for each one of the companies. In the case of Grendene, since we last talked, the lawsuit went to upper court, but is still going on. Our individual lawsuit has not hit the upper court, Supreme Court yet. But anyway, the Supreme Court has been judging and to the favor of companies, but the binding lawsuit has not been released yet. And remember, the Supreme Court does not have a deadline to issue their final decision. As for our individual lawsuit, we don't know when it's going to hit the Supreme Court. It depends on how many appeals the IRS is going to enter. And the IRS has not given up appeals yet. It is impairing the movement of this lawsuit, and they're getting to the Supreme Court. What we hear from attorneys is that this year, probably the situation is going to be settled, but it's very hard for us to tell you when this is going to happen. It may be very fast if the Supreme Court decides on this overall lawsuit, the binding lawsuit, because that would be a lot faster. And it may take a long time for our individual lawsuit to hit the Supreme Court. So we are just waiting. Okay, thank you. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, just press star 1. Once again, if you want to ask a question, just press star 1. We have Wagner Salarezeri from Quantita once again. Well, Schmidt, thanks for taking another question. Your main competitor in the domestic market had a different change in leadership, a relevant change in leadership. As for market behavior, do you see any change, anything that was perceptible in the competition environment in the domestic market because of this changing leadership of your competitor? Hi, Wagner. How are you? Well, it's too early to tell. The change in leadership did take place in January, so we really cannot feel any change in the market yet. And not in terms of strategy or anything. You know, what from what was said, we don't see a major change. I mean, nothing that is being said is dramatically different from what the competitor used to say before. So at the level of the market, I think it should take some time for us to really realize change, if there is going to be change in the behavior or profile of the company. So, not really. And I would like to add that Grandene has obviously always monitored the competition, but we have our business model. It is a reference in the market. It is different from this particular competitor and from all any competitor, because Grandene is a company that is hard to be comparable because it works in different segments. We have several companies. So I don't think in Brazil you have a company that operates in all segments such as we do. So clearly in each segment we follow our closest competitors, but we have our guidelines. And we pay very close attention to what's happening in the market. So we are paying a lot more attention on consumers than on competitors, because we believe that it is in consumers that we can find true value. And I'm just going to use your question just to add to the previous question about the cash flow. In fact, in years when you have a shorter bond period, this movement in terms of redemption and investment can be intensified or slowed down. And, you know, times for bonds also depend on market supply. Sometimes you have a very good return rate, and then for that you would have to remain for 3 years, and then you would reinvest it for a period of 2 years or 1.5. So we try to invest our cash in the time spans that will give us best return. Sometimes the portfolio will turn over faster, others slower, but that will depend on yield, just to complement my answer to your previous question. Okay, thank you very much. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, just press star one. Once again, to ask a question, just press star one. Wesley Zanoni has a question, an investor. As for the cash that is held because of tax credits in the state of Ceará, can this cash be used in the buyback program? Do you have any plans with this regard? Well, the cash can be used if the company understands that this is the best move to go for. It can be for the buyback of shares. It can be for the payout of dividends. However, basically, what rules the buyback or the payout is the company's equity and not cash. So when you have tax incentives from any state and you receive those incentives, well, these incentives are not taxed at the federal level, that is, in the income return of the company, as long as they are transferred to a incentive reserve account. And when they are transferred to this reserve account, they leave the dividend base. Remember, the dividend base is the same that is used for buyback programs. That is, the company can only buy back shares or pay out dividends if it has accrued income. And accrued income then is in one of the net worth accounts, as you have the amount in this reserve account. For you to transfer from the reserve accounts to the accrued income, which could be used for the payout of dividends or the buyback, then the IRS demands that these resources have to be subject to taxation at a rate of the normal level, plus the additional level and social contribution. And our board of directors and our shareholders understand that at this level of taxation, it's not interesting for us to remove those incentives from the reserve account. And therefore, they are not used as the basis, for the payout of dividends or for the buyback. In fact, if you think of the dividend base, well, everything that is in the dividend base is paid out as dividends. Remember that dividends are not taxed. And if we were to buy back our shares, in addition to the taxation of shareholders as the gain of capital, because they are going to be selling their shares, we would have the problem of the free float. So today, the company's free float is about 30%. The minimum is 25%. So if the company starts to buy back shares, it will very, very fast have a free float problem. So if it is in the dividend bands, we are going to pay out as dividends. And for you to get this money and put in the dividend base, you have to pay 34%, which is the accrued taxation. Okay, thank you very much. As a reminder, if you have a question, just press star one. Our next question comes from Breno Freitas from Valores Gestores and Recursos.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to know about this new legislation that was passed in the U.S. about reducing the import, and amongst them you had footwear. So what do you expect for 2019? Do you expect to increase your exports to the U.S.? Well, this change in the U.S. tariff really does not have much impact on our expectations. We have been striving in order to increase exports to the U.S. I have already mentioned a couple of times that that we could increase our gains, but the type of shoes that we want to export to the U.S. is the type of shoes that we want to have our brand name on, and that can be either comparable or better than those that we have in Brazil. We do not want to actually export the commodity footwear. That's not part of our focus. It's not part of ours in general. To give you a macro view, when we think about exports, we believe that we're going to face more challenges. We see a drop in exports in 2018, and that happened, well, mostly in the Latin America. And today, we still do not see a significant recovery, at least in the short term. And what about the rest of the world? Well, in the U.S., it seems that the U.S. will also face some challenges, economically speaking. All the trade issues, the trade barriers, in Europe, things are still slow, and the outlook is that it's going to get further worse. There are talks about this the slowdown in Germany, the Brexit issue. So the challenges for exporting and next year will probably increase. With regard to our market share worldwide, it's still small. So there are different places for you to enter the market, some other places you can enter in spite of the major challenges faced by the market. And unlike Brazil, where we are present everywhere, so our market share is good and we have many points of sale. So we have a very positive market. But abroad, we do expect to grow, but we believe that we're going to face more challenges. Thank you very much. Just to remind you, if you have any questions, please press star 1. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Well, we concluded the Q&A session. I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Francisco Smith for his final comments. Well, I can only thank you for your interest, for your participation. Once again, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you very much. This conference call is now closed. We'd like to thank you all. Have a great day. And thank you also for joining Chorus Call. Thank you.